is yet to come, come the day of mine.
Now, come on, how often do you go to church and you get to hear a little Frank Sinatra? I'm telling you, come on, that's awesome. Frank Sinatra, the best is yet to come and soon you'll be mine. I know that he wasn't probably trying to convey biblical truth in that song. He probably wasn't trying to awaken the world to the amazing future that God has for us. But I think there's a little deeper message to it. In fact, when you look at Frank Sinatra's gravestone right here, it's a small gravestone, but look what's on the top of it. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The other thing about that interesting introduction to the sermon this week is the fact that Velvet and I love to dance to that kind of music. Oh, yeah. I just about grabbed her hand and we just about had a little dance right here in front of y'all. But that would have embarrassed her. I could have blamed it on Father's Day and gotten away with it, but that would have been pushing it a little bit. The best is yet to come. Why am I talking about this? Come on, Pastor, stop chatting. Let's get to some meat here. Start preaching. I get it. The Lord has something for us in that phrase, the best is yet to come. Last week, I was in the prayer room that has been talked about a little bit this morning in the words the Lord's been given to us. And while I was spending some time in there praying, which a lot of praying is listening, what is God saying? We can bring our needs, we can bring our desires, our wants, but ultimately we go to the place of prayer to hear the voice of God. Because that's what we really need, right? We need to hear God. We need to be directed by Him. We long for an encounter with Him. And so I was in there a week ago, and the Lord gave me this word. Let me share it with you, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. He said, Eric, you're familiar with the saying that the best is behind you. Some believe this to be true about their lives. Then God said to me, but I'm here to tell you that if I have gone before you, how can the best be behind you? Now, he knew I needed to hear that. If I've gone before you, Eric, how can the best be behind you? What does this mean? Let's look at this, church. If God is before us, then so is the best. You hear that? You get that? You understand that? If God is before us, and how many of you believe that Scripture tells us that God has gone before us? It's all throughout Scripture. We're going to look at that just in a moment. And if God has gone before us, then that means that the best is yet to come. It's still before us. We're still going to be walking into the best because God is before us. And I believe this is a word from the Lord, not just for me, but for a whole lot of other individuals in the room today. And I believe it's also a word from the Lord for this church. The best is yet to come. So that's the title of the sermon. The best is yet to come. I bet you Sinatra didn't think he was titling a sermon when he sang that song. The best is yet to come. Deuteronomy 31:8. Check this out. It says that the Lord Himself does what? Goes before you, and He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then we look at Isaiah 45, verse 2. I, the Lord says, I will do what? Go before you. And I love this. And I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. So He's not going before us and just twiddling His thumbs, waiting for us. He's going before us with a purpose, a powerful, intentional purpose. And then we all know Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans, this is future stuff, right? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. A future. Good plans for our future. And so we understand Scripture has been very clear that God has gone before us. The Creator of the universe is already at your future. He's already at your tomorrow. He's already at you, the next chapter of your life. He's already there. And because He's already at our future, we can run into our future with confidence. But not just with confidence, we can also run into our future with great expectation, with excitement, with joy, with hope, with faith rising up within us. Because God's already there. And He's torn down the gates. He's leveled the mountains. He's bended the bars of iron. He's made a way for us. The best is yet to come. I want to talk about this word that the Lord has for us today. We're going to have like four different examples of this from Scripture. How God has continued to show His people, the followers of Jesus, that the best is yet to come. That it just keeps getting better and better and better and bigger and bigger and bigger and greater and greater and greater for those that follow Jesus and lean into Him every day. So the best is yet to come. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5. Turn with me. We're going to be there for just a little bit now. Luke chapter 5 says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around Him as they were listening to the word of God, He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and He asked him to put out a little from shore. Then He sat down and He taught the people from the boat. And verse 4 says, when He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into deep water and then let down the nets for a catch. You're going to go fishing again. I want you to go fishing again. And Simon answered and he said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. And I know he's thinking more in his head. Simon's also thinking, Jesus, you're a smart man. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You understand the best fishing is at night and early in the morning. The day is getting long already, and you're telling us to go back out into the deep water and get our nets all wet and dirty again trying to fish? Says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. There's a sermon in that right there, isn't there? A lot of times the Lord asks us to do things that don't make sense. That don't make sense. We can't figure it out. It seems like a waste of time to us. But we just need to go with God. We need to roll with Him. And trust Him. And that's what Simon did. Okay, it doesn't make sense. Go back out and go fishing again. We're not catching anything. It's too late in the day, but we're going to do it because you said to do it. Now, when they had done so, when they obeyed Jesus, it says that they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. In other words, it's about to get bigger. I know this is blowing your mind, Simon. I know you guys can't believe what just happened, even to the point where you're fearful because this is so supernatural above and beyond. But I'm going to take it to a whole nother level right here. I'm going to say what you're seeing right here in the natural with these fish, that's just a picture of what your real purpose is. That's just a picture of what your real future is going to look like. Not only are you going to be fishing for dirty, stinking fish, you're going to be promoted to a whole nother level, to a whole nother purpose, to a whole nother future. You're going to go out and you're going to start fishing for lost men. And you're going to engage in something that's not temporal, but that is eternal. So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and they followed Him. with Jesus, the best is always yet to come. When we listen to the Lord, when we do things His way, we're going to find the purpose of our lives going from the mundane to the miraculous. We all jump on that train, man. We want the miraculous. We want to see the miracles of God. But then we stay on our own plan. We stay on our own purpose. We don't jump on what God's doing. We want the results of God, but we kind of keep going about our life the same way. When we look at life God's way, when we get on His page with life, we're going to go from the mundane to the miraculous. We're going to go from the empty to the overflow. That's what happened with Simon and those guys, right? Empty nets to the overflow. We're going to go from the meaningless to the meaningful. And I know we all desire that. We all want our lives to matter, to mean something. The way we find meaning is in Christ. That's how we find meaning. So the best is yet to come, just like it did for Simon. They thought the day was over. It was too late to catch any more fish. They also thought the best that's ever going to happen to them is a big catch. But God has more. And He has more for each one of us. The best is yet to come. Now check this out. So it says that they followed Him. They left everything. They followed Him. In fact, they followed Jesus for 3 years. They walked with Him and did life with Him as miracles were happening, as He was teaching truth, as the scales of their eyes were being pulled back and they were beginning to understand, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Wow, this is an amazing time in our lives. I cannot believe that we get to be part of this. But then it looked like the wheels fell off. Because before they knew it, Jesus is taken. He's whipped. He's beaten. He's hung on a cross. A spear goes through His side. He bleeds out. He's put in a grave, dead. They think the best has already happened. They were already talking about the good old days as they were running away, trying to save their lives, confused. But the best was yet to come. On the third day, what happened, church? The resurrection. Then He hung out with His disciples some more, blowing their minds, doing miracles. And then He ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. Oh, the best is behind us. Jesus is gone, but the best was yet to come. Because not many days later, in an upper room on the day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came and filled the church and drew them out into the community. And 3,000 people in that one day came to Christ as the power of God was being released through the church from glory to glory, ever increasing glory. The best is yet to come. And it kept happening. The best, the best, the best, day in and day out for the people of God. Jesus tried to clue His disciples into this. Remember, He promised the church that they were going to do the things He was doing, but even greater things. Check it out. It's in John 14, verse 12. He says, I tell you the truth, guys. I tell you the truth. And when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you better listen up, right? He says, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. And then He ratchets it up a notch. Not only will He do the things I've been doing, He says, but He will do even greater things than these. In other words, the best is yet to come. Yeah, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, not walking on this earth any longer. Yeah, He's not doing miracles any longer, but Jesus is saying, dude, I was just priming the pump, man. I was just kind of getting it ready. I was just trying to give you a little inspiration here. Now I've handed the baton off to you, and the best is yet to come. You're going to do these things, but you're going to shatter and go to even greater heights, deeper depths, further with the kingdom of God than I've gone in these 3 years. You're going to do even greater things. The best is yet to come, He says, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and Jesus says, I will do it. I want to show the world that the best is yet to come. Let's do this, church. Let's do this. That's what Jesus is saying. He didn't hide this from them either. He didn't hide this from us. He wants us to understand the greater things are yet to come. The greater things are still to be done. The best is yet to come in the life of the church, in the life of a follower of Christ. The best is not behind us. Okay, so it was Grant's birthday on the 9th of this month. And we went to a restaurant. Velvet had some Groupons to this restaurant. And so we went to a place called Steak and Stone. And here's Grant and I were eating. And what you do there, in fact, we're going there for Father's Day. Make sure we get there before you all do so we can get a table, all right? Come on, have some respect here, right? So there we are at Steak and Stone, and they give you the steak. We got tri-tip, a great value. If you go there, get the tri-tip, a great value, a great cut of meat. Anyway, they need to give me some kickbacks on if you all go in there. But anyway, so we cooked it up on these 500, 600-degree stones. We ate it. Look at our faces. Look at how happy we were. Look at how enjoyable this meal was. It was incredible. But as good as the entree was, as amazing as that tri-tip was, we didn't understand it, but the best was about to happen. The best was yet to come. And check out what happened when they brought the dessert for Grant's birthday. Look at that thing. That's crazy. Now, you all have heard how much I like ice cream, right? Brings me comfort, makes me feel good. It's my little thing I run to. I know I shouldn't. I repented of that before, but we still had it at his birthday. Check this thing out. That's a brownie inside this hot stone. I'm telling you, that's half a gallon or more of ice cream. That makes the Jones family happy. The entree was good, but the best was yet to come. That's the heart of the Father right there. Woo, we're going to do it again today, right, guys? Come on, bring it on. The best is yet to come. Let's remember some truths here. Isaiah 43:19 says, see, this is God talking to us, his people. See, I'm doing new things. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? God's like saying, come on, church. Come on, children. Come on. I'm doing new things. I've got amazing plans for you. Open up your eyes. Check it out. Don't think the best is behind you. Don't talk about the good old days. Let's look at what's about to happen here. Open your eyes. Get on board with me. He says this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, meaning the best is yet to come. And then we get to that day, and we still, oh, the best is still yet to come. The best is yet to come. Because God continues to work in us, and things keep going from glory to glory to glory. Good, better, best, bestest, and it keeps going, however you want to say it. And then Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, with God's power working within us, the future isn't less than. Rather, it's always immeasurably more. Let me say that again. With the power of God working within us, and I will say with us cooperating with it too, not stiff-arming God, but when the power of God is working within us, individually within us as a church, it's not less than tomorrow. It's immeasurably more. That's kingdom principle. That's promise of God stuff that we find here in his word. That's take it to the bank. Let's understand the power of God is working in us. And let's not think about tomorrow with long faces, but let's look at tomorrow with hope and anticipation and excitement, because the immeasurably more of God is about to happen because he's promised it. Okay, I'm looking around the room, and I see a lot of fathers out there on Father's Day, but I also see a little bit of gray hair. There's a little bit of gray hair in the room here and there. I've got some. You got to let the light hit it just right, and you'll see the sparkle. That's why I got a nice, tight haircut, cutting all that gray back, right? And sparkle. You like that? It's a little sparkle, gray? You like that? Yeah. And there may be some folks in the room with, you know, the hair a little gray here and there that are thinking, Pastor, I get it. This is a great message, but this is really a message for the youth because they're the future, right? They're the ones that are going to bring the future. This message really isn't for me. I appreciate it. I love listening to it and all, but it's for the youth. And I just want to say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's just for the youth. What are you talking about? It's for the younger people. What are you talking about? It's for the guys that have more hair or whatever. What are you talking about? I want you to remember a guy named Caleb. Caleb. We're going to go to the book of Joshua. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 14. Listen to this old man, this guy talking. Caleb says, so here I am today. I'm 85 years old. He says, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Now, what's he doing? I don't know. It would be a miracle if this guy, and God is a God of miracles, if this guy was literally physically as strong as a 25-year-old. Whether he is or isn't, he's believing it. He's confessing it. He's speaking it as though it were. He's having a mindset of faith that says, look, I'm not dead yet. God has given me breath. I'm going to move forward in confidence in the Lord. So check this out. So he says, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I've got the mindset of a young guy. The mindset of faith running through me right here. And then he says, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me in my age of 85, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. It's a mindset that Caleb has. It's a mindset that the best is not behind him. It's a mindset that it ain't over until it's over. And it ain't over until God says it's over. And until God brings me home and stops giving me breath, I'm moving forward in faith, understanding the best is yet to come, and I don't want to miss any of it. I'm going to walk forward with God, trusting that if he is for me, who can be against me? I'm going to grab hold of what he's grabbed up hold of for me. I don't want any of us to be left behind. I'm not talking about a rapture or anything like that. I'm talking about the promises of God, the move of God right here, right now. I'm talking about engaging with him in kingdom exploits right here on this earth, in our culture and in our community. I don't want us to be left behind. If God is for us, then the best is still yet to come. A lot of you know Don Shrine. Don's got a few gray hairs. My older brother here in the Lord, right? One of our elders here in the church. This guy lives like a Caleb. He's not retreating. He's not looking for reasons to slow down. He moves forward every single day full of vigor, full of the fire of God in his bones that are shaking him to go out and to bring the kingdom of God into other people's lives, to walk as a man of faith. And I'm telling you what, he's going to accomplish more in his life, I believe, in these last days than he ever did in his previous days, because the best is yet to come, and he is engaging like a Caleb with the plans of God right here and right now. So Don, thank you for the example. Encourage me with that. You really do. And others. So the best is yet to come. If the best is yet to come, then we got to be careful about dwelling on the past. And I want us to look at Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. They say, brothers. I do, and I'll say sisters. Brothers and sisters. I don't know why it came out that way. Sorry. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. And you're saying, I get it. Eric, I hear what God is saying there. I got to forget the bad stuff, and I've been working on that. I'm not going to dwell on my past. I'm not going to dwell on my past sin, my past failure. I'm not going to dwell on the lies that people have spoken about me. I'm not going to dwell on the condemnation that people want to pour out on me. I'm going to forget the former things. I'm going to forget the past. All those bad things I'm going to forget. But I got a question. Is God telling us only to forget the bad stuff? Forgetting the bad stuff, I press forward. That's not what he said. Maybe we need to also forget the good stuff. I don't want to forget the good stuff. But maybe we need to sometimes. Maybe we can hold so tightly to the good stuff that it can actually become a hindrance. It can become a crutch. It can become an idol, a ball and chain that prevents us from moving forward. Maybe the good stuff is just something that we like to lean into because it's comforting. It makes us feel good to think about the past, to think about the glory days. Kind of like this guy. Check this out.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah. Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. In a heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate. Kip, I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything like time travel?
Easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
Right on.
Right on. Uncle Rico, Napoleon Dynamite fame, wants to go back in time. Back to the glory days, doesn't he? Back when he was the man, right? He's not the only guy who's found himself stuck in the past or paralyzed in the present, is he? Can happen to a lot of us. It's common, the good old days. Guys, I'm here to tell you on this Father's Day that the best is yet to come. Maybe you're a football star like Dave Caldwell over here. Yeah, come on. Sick 'em Bears. I know you didn't go to Baylor. I think we beat you that year, though. It was about 50 years ago or something like that. But maybe you have a tendency of thinking, man, the best is behind me. I did some pretty awesome things when I was younger. Maybe it was just a few years ago. You were in a different position financially, career-wise, you were the man, you know what I mean? And maybe you don't feel that way right now. But I'm here to tell you, guys, we need to forget the past, not dwell on it, not let it define us, but let Christ define us. We got to remember that the best is yet to come, that the good days are ahead of us, that God has created you to be his ambassador. He created you to be his man on this earth, to bring his kingdom, to love your wife, to care for your kids. And he's given you everything that you need. And it's not a pressure. It's not a burden. The enemy wants it to be. The world tries to throw it at you like it's a burden and make you want to run away from these responsibilities. But God has given you some amazing opportunities, and he's given you all you need to walk into these opportunities and to glorify him in and through these opportunities. The Lord wants you to know that your future is bright, that the best is yet to come, that as you continue to seek His face, that He will continue to pour out His grace in and over your life. And you will find yourself doing things, saying things, involved in things that blow your mind, that humble you and make you grateful for trusting God and following His plan for your life. So I want to encourage every dad in here, every man in this room on this Father's Day, forgetting what's behind us and looking forward to what's ahead of us. Because in Christ, it's beautiful, it's glorious, it's exciting. And because God has gone before you and because He's given you everything you need, it's not a burden and it's not something you have to strive at. Just cooperate with. Preaching to myself, guys. I'm preaching myself right now and to you. I got to preach to some of you, maybe even a little bit later too, some more. But anyway, that was a joke. Thinking about the people of God, how they were walking around in the desert and God provided for them. He gave them manna to eat. But wasn't it interesting how He only gave them enough for that day and He told them don't save any of it? In fact, He made it rot, get all stinky and nasty if they tried to save it. And I wonder why. Why is that? I think we understand that it's because He wanted His people to trust Him for their daily bread, for their daily manna. But I believe it's also something else. Maybe God didn't want His children to settle for yesterday's provision, to get too comfortable with just the bread, just the manna, because He knew where He was leading them. He was leading them into a land with milk and honey. Something much better, something much greater. He was taking them to Steak and Stone to have the tri-tip and then even the dessert, and He didn't want them sitting around at the salad bar all day. Although, I could use a little more salad bar probably. You know what I'm saying? Their future provision and our future provision isn't just manna. We thank God for the manna, for the daily supply that we need. But we never want to put our future hope in it. We always want to make room for God to bring the next thing, the best thing, into our lives. It grieves my heart when I see believers, hear believers talking about and believing that the best is behind the church. Like God is somehow done doing the big stuff. Some actually believe that the miracles are behind the church. Season of miracles, that happened way back in the day, that's over. Some believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are behind the church, that they've somehow expired. The Bible doesn't say that. But yet some people believe that. It's sad. Some believe that the massive revivals like the Welsh Revival, the Azusa Street Revival, that those happened, those were the big bang, and we're never going to see anything like that again. Not the big stuff anymore. We just need to kind of endure. The best is behind us. We just kind of got to make it across the finish line, even if we got to crawl across the finish line as the church. And come on, Jesus, because, you know, the best is behind us and we just don't have anything left. And I don't get that because, again, it's not in the Bible. It's not. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Here's what God says. In the last days, come on now. In the last days, I will do what? Okay, he's going to pour out His Spirit. In the last days, He's going to keep doing this? He's got more for the church. In the last days, He's going to pour out, not trickle out. He's going to pour out His Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Come on, kids. Your young men will see visions. Jim Cianci, you're a young man, I guess, because you saw that vision the Lord gave you, right? Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name, here's revival, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In the last days, this is yet to come. The best is yet to come, church. We got to know it. We got to believe it. We got to look forward to it. We got to engage in it. Here's something we saw on Sunday. Play this video. Here's some of the best that's yet to come. This is Harvest America Crusade.
But I know that you're the Savior.
The altar call.
Who died on the cross.
All the people down there.
Shed your blood.
So many of them. Receiving Christ. So many of them. Coming back into right relationship. All right, we can cut that. It's having some problems. The best is not behind us. The Lord still wants to show us that He's pouring out His Spirit, that He's bringing salvation to the lost, that it's not over. It's not time to crawl across the finish line. It's time to get up like a Caleb or a Don Shrine. It's time to get up on our feet and to run with confidence into our future because Christ is already there. The best is not behind us. The best is yet to come, church. It's yet to come.
Amen.
That gets me excited. Thank you, Lisa. One final proof. I'm going to go just a few minutes early. If you have to get to a lunch because it's Father's Day, I totally get it. I understand you are blessed. But I got one more point I want to make before we close about the best is yet to come. It's found in Revelation 21, beginning of verse 1. This is the future. This is what God is promising. This is what's going to happen. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them.'" You remember? Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God in the cool of the day. It's happening again. Heaven on earth, right here, is happening. They will be His people and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things is gone. It's passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new. The best is yet to come." Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I read that passage. The first thing I say and I put in my notes is, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready for this. I want a little bit of this. Come on, Lord Jesus. Come back." And the second thing that jumps into my mind now is, come on, the best is yet to come, church. This is an amazing future and promise that God has for us. We don't need to walk with our heads down. We don't need to walk worried about tomorrow. God has already gone before us. He's in our future. He is our future. If Jesus is your future, what's coming? The best. The best is yet to come. So I got a question. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Praise God. I believe it too. I believe it. I want to read something that I think is important because it lets us know the battle that we're in for this truth, for living in this way. I was Googling this week and looking for stories about people that are just struggling with the future and feeling like the best is behind them. And I came across this post. It was on the social anxiety support forum. And this is what it says. It's sobering, but hang with me here. It says, "So for about a year now, I've been pretty much constantly miserable. I used to have a good group of friends, but they seem to just ditch me. Better things to do. Parties, girlfriends, etc. I find it hard to talk to new people, so I don't really have any friends. My parents don't care. I'm still at school, and I see everyone else having fun together, and I just feel like the best years are behind me already. I go to college, university next year, and I know things will probably get worse for me. Education, job, then death. I feel like that's my future. Sorry for being all depressing, but I just had to write it out somewhere. And I want to tell you what, for a lot of people, this is how they process life. This is normal. Might not sound normal to you, but this is normal. We live in a broken world with a lot of hurting people. To think the best is behind them. Maybe there was never a best. That live without hope. That are hurting. And they need who you have. They need Jesus. They need to see somebody who knows Jesus, who knows their future, who's confident in who they are in Christ. They need to know you. They need to hear what you have to say. They need you to give them what you have. They need you to give them Jesus. They need you to give them hope. They need you to give them a future. His name is Jesus. That's what our world needs. That's what this young person needs right here. They need Jesus. John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that they may have life and that to the full. Couldn't be any different, could it? And that life that we have to walk into is the best. Because we're walking into a future where Jesus has already gone before us. Where he's already made a way. Where God has already broken the barriers and the boundaries and made a way for us to be part of his plan for this world. To see salvation coming. And to do it with him. With him. I want to say one more thing. We can stand up. We've been talking a lot about our future. And it's very easy to just get future-minded and say, oh yeah, the good days are coming. And then we miss the good, the best, the better, the very presence and power of God that's right here, right now, in our lives, today. The same God that has gone before you, that has the best for you in your future, is with you and here with you right now. You don't have to wait until tomorrow to know the love of God. You don't have to wait until tomorrow to experience his presence, to hear his voice, to engage with him, to glorify him and to enjoy him. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. If you walked in this room and you feel far from God, then it's no accident that you're here and that you're hearing this message straight from the heart of God, from his word. It's because God is drawing you to him right now so that your present and your future will be secure and alive in him now and forevermore. I want to ask the prayer ministers to come forward. And you know if you have anything broken, hurting in your life and you need prayer support, you're going to walk forward when we close here in just a bit. But I want to tell you, if you've been living your life without hope, apart from the love of God, not knowing about your future, what it's going to look like, and where you're going to end up, you don't have to live in the dark any longer. You can walk into the marvelous light that's found in the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world. You can know new life. You can know the best, what you were created for. You can walk into it today and every single day. Your hope and your future secured in Christ. When I get finished praying, I want to invite anybody who's ready to walk into that kind of future to come forward as we're dismissing at that time also. Lord, I just thank you, God, for the message and the word that you've given us. God, I thank you that you are the one who encourages. Holy Spirit, thank you for comforting us, for encouraging us. God, for helping us to think rightly, to think your way, to have your worldview, as Jake talked about earlier. God, thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit on everyone in this room. that each one of us, even right now, would walk differently, would live differently, would think differently, that we would move into our future, even the next moment, with faith and with our eyes and our hearts and our minds fixed on you. And Lord, again, I pray for every man in this room that God, that they would walk with the confidence of who they are in Christ Jesus, forgetting the past, forgetting the failures, and moving forward in faith, confident, not in their own strength, but confident in who you are in them. Bless every dad in this room. And may Jesus be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.